Welcome, everyone. Today, we're doing a deep dive into the really fascinating, fast-changing world of mobility and the automotive industry, specifically in Morocco.
That's right. We've pulled together a whole range of recent reports, news articles, regulatory updates, quite a mix.
Yeah, and whether you're interested in, say, urban transport, environmental stuff, business trends, or the latest tech, we think there'll be something here for you.
Definitely. Our mission, if you like, is to cut through some of the noise, pull up the key developments, and hopefully offer some clarity on what's happening on the ground.
Okay, so let's get started. First up, electric scooters. They're everywhere in the cities now, aren't they?
They really are. And interestingly, the National Road Safety Agency, NARSA, actually sees them as having, you know, potential to help with urban congestion.
Right, a possible solution. But the tricky bit seems to be the legal side.
Exactly. There's currently no clear legal framework. It puts users in this kind of gray area, which obviously raises safety concerns.
Yeah, NARSA has been quite clear under the current traffic code, Law 5205. These scooters just aren't recognized as a vehicle category.
So technically, riders are treated as pedestrians, which, I mean, that has huge implications.
Huge. And it's not just theoretical. The figures from 2021 showed 42 injury accidents involving e-scooters and, sadly, one fatality. It really underlines the urgency.
And then there's the environmental angle, often touted as green, right?
That's the main selling point, usually.
Well, experts like the criminal lawyer Ahmed El-Majdi are pointing out it's a bit more nuanced. You've got the rare metals in the batteries, for one.
Ah, the production impact.
Precisely. And also the carbon footprint of some shared scooter services, you know, using diesel vans to collect and recharge them. It complicates the green image a bit.
So not quite as simple as it looks. Are there efforts to sort of mitigate that?
There are initiatives being discussed, like smart charging stations in public areas that could help make charging safer and maybe greener.
But that brings us back to the rules, doesn't it? You need a proper framework to roll those out effectively.
Absolutely. The good news is the government seems to be on it. There's a draft law to amend the traffic code currently under discussion.
What kind of changes are proposed?
Key things include making helmets mandatory, requiring users to follow traffic signals, which seems obvious, but needs stating legally.
Right. Basic safety rules.
And they're planning what they call dissuasive fines for violations, aiming to increase user responsibility.
The Minister of Transport, Mohamed Abdeljalil, has really emphasized this, linking it directly to citizen safety and addressing those accident figures.
Yeah, they're also looking at creating specific vehicle categories for these personal mobility vehicles and homologating safety helmets properly.
It feels like part of a bigger picture, doesn't it? This push for sustainable mobility.
It does. It's about finding a way for scooters, cars, pedestrians, buses, everyone to coexist harmoniously, especially with cities growing so rapidly.
So discussions are ongoing. There's even a study day planned to hash things out further.
The aim is a comprehensive legal framework. Protect users, but also, you know, encourage these potentially useful transport options.
It's a real opportunity, then, to rethink how we move around cities.
Definitely. But it hinges on getting that regulation and the necessary infrastructure right. Ultimately, it's about integrating them safely and sustainably.
Okay, let's shift gears now to the broader automotive industry in Morocco. There's some serious ambition there.
Oh, absolutely. The headline goal announced by the Minister of Industry is huge. Doubling annual vehicle production capacity to 2 million units by 2030.
2 million? Wow. How are they planning to achieve that?
Well, the strategy seems to rest on three main pillars. Boosting industrial capacity, significantly strengthening local integration, getting more parts made locally, and transitioning towards more advanced technologies.
And that local integration piece is already quite advanced in places, isn't it?
It is. Stellantis, for example, is reportedly at 69% local integration at their plant, with a target of 80%. That's pretty high.
So we're talking major investments then?
Massive investments are planned across the value chain. Stellantis, again, they're apparently planning to quadruple their annual engine production. That's a big jump.
And it's not just engines, right? Other components, too.
Yeah, there's ongoing development in manufacturing things like gearboxes and significantly tires. We'll come back to tires, maybe.
But are there still gaps? Areas where local production needs development?
Yes, definitely. Reports mention areas like automotive glass, casting and complex electronic connectors still need more technological and industrial capacity locally.
Alongside this conventional growth, Morocco's also looking hard at the electric vehicle shift, I gather.
Very proactively. They see the global move towards electric mobility not just as a challenge, but as a major strategic opportunity.
How so? What are they doing specifically?
Developing a whole ecosystem for EV technologies. This includes battery production, a huge part of an EV's value in battery management systems, or BMS.
So the ambition is to be a serious player in the global EV supply chain.
That seems to be the goal, becoming a key hub.
You mentioned tires earlier.
Yes. The tire sector is getting a major boost. The Chinese group Century Tire is planning a huge factory in Tangier.
How big are we talking?
Potential capacity up to 8 million tires annually. That's significant.
And that's aimed at local demand for the Renault and Stellantis plants.
Both local demand and the needs of the established automakers, yes. It really helps consolidate Morocco's position as a regional automotive leader.
So all these moves, the capacity expansion, the EV focus, the component manufacturing, it makes Morocco pretty attractive for investors.
Extremely attractive, it seems. It's seen as a strategic platform, you know, with good access to European and African markets, helped by free trade agreements and its location. A clear industrial vision helps, too.
Okay, so a lot of positive momentum. But there's also been this issue with the EU, hasn't there, regarding aluminum wheels?
Yes, that's a more complicated development. The EU has imposed definitive anti-dumping duties on certain aluminum wheels made in Morocco, specifically from Tangier and Kenitra. Those took effect March 15th, 2025.
Anti-dumping duties. So the EU believes they were being sold too cheaply.
Essentially, yes. The European Commission's investigation concluded these products benefited from what they termed unjustified subsidies.
Subsidies allowing Moroccan manufacturers to offer them at, well, artificially low prices in the EU market.
Exactly. And the investigation specifically highlighted significant funding linked to China's Belt and Road Initiative, the BRI, as part of those subsidies.
Right, the BRI connection. So what are the duty levels?
They're differential. 14.3% for companies that cooperated with the investigation, but 25.3% for others. And even higher rates apply if they also receive that BRI funding.
And the commission felt the impact on European industry was significant.
They called it considerable. They pointed to what they described as spectacular growth in Moroccan aluminum wheel imports into the EU.
What kind of growth are we talking?
Market share apparently went from about 2% in 2020 up to 9% in 2023. That's a rapid increase.
And price-wise?
The report said Moroccan imports were, on average, 16% cheaper than EU-made wheels. That put serious pressure on European manufacturers.
You can see why they'd be concerned. Did they mention job impacts?
Yes. The commission estimated the situation directly threatened nearly 16,600 jobs in the EU's aluminum wheel sector.
Has there been any official reaction from Morocco on this latest decision?
At the time of the reports we looked at, not yet from the Ministry of Industry and Commerce, but it's worth remembering that back in 2023, when this first surfaced, Moroccan authorities strongly defended their practices.
They argued they were complying with European standards and free trade agreements, didn't they?
They did. They emphasized compliance. Clearly, those arguments didn't sway the commission in the end.
It feels like this goes beyond just wheels, doesn't it? It touches on bigger trade tensions.
Absolutely. It highlights growing friction around international trade practices, subsidies, and it definitely has that geopolitical dimension involving the BRI and the economic rivalry, really, between Europe and China.
And Morocco finds itself sort of caught in the middle of these complex dynamics.
Precisely. It could certainly influence future relationships with European partners. It's a tricky situation with potentially broad ramifications.
Okay, let's round up some of the other key developments mentioned in the sources. There was talk about import substitution.
Yes, a strategy aiming to replace imports worth an estimated $3.4 billion by boosting local production, strengthening that local value chain again.
And things like the new investment charter and special economic zones are designed to help with that.
Exactly, creating an attractive framework for industrialists. And it seems to be working, attracting several Chinese groups specializing in batteries, electronics, EV assembly.
Which also helps with technology transfer, presumably.
That's often a key benefit, yes. It all ties into that ambition of becoming a leading African EV hub, which Morocco showcased at an event in Shanghai recently.
On a more local level, there was a decision in Casablanca about heavy goods vehicles.
Right. The Wally restricted HGV is on the urban highway there, trying to ease the chronic traffic congestion. Practical urban management.
And the auto financing market is growing, too.
Definitely heating up. Stellantis launched its own financing arm, following similar moves by Renault and Bugshan Automotive Group. And Assurance Maroc, buying a majority stake in AXA Credit, is also part of that trend, strengthening financing options.
Interesting. What about new players entering the market? Kamaz was mentioned.
The Russian truck manufacturer, yes. They're reportedly exploring the Moroccan market, potentially seeing it as a gateway to Africa.
Which could have its own geopolitical angle, given current Russia-Europe relations.
It certainly could. It's one to watch.
On the car launch front, Geely brought in the M-Grand sedan.
Yeah, focusing on design and value for money. And Dengte Maroc is entering the rally Aisha de Gazelle again, highlighting female talent from Renault Group Maroc driving the new Duster 4x4s.
And for performance fans, the Range Rover Sport SV set a record at Yas Marina.
Blending luxury and performance, yes. Also, Bag Holding created a new digital and innovation division, appointing Mariam Bukhari to lead it. Digital transformation is key everywhere now.
Globally, those potential U.S. tariffs on imported vehicles were mentioned as a concern.
Yeah, worries about sparking a trade war, impacting especially Japanese and European automakers. A lot of uncertainty there.
Shifting back to safety, Morocco hosted the World Ministerial Conference on Road Safety, adopting the Marrakech Declaration.
Yes, strengthening international commitment. And Morocco's own leadership, recognized by the King Mohammed VI International Road Safety Award, was highlighted.
What about the car rental sector?
Prospects for 2025 look promising, apparently, although they still face challenges from the informal market.
But there was also some criticism regarding highways.
Yes, a parliamentary mission report raised concerns about the management of the National Highway Company, ADM, citing dysfunctions and user dissatisfaction. Not all smooth sailing.
Always room for improvement. There was also a funny anecdote about scooters.
Yeah, contrasting the urban enthusiasm with maybe more skeptical rural views on electric scooters. A lighter note.
And classic cars got to mention, too, electric 2CVs at Retromobile.
Yes, Mahari Club Cassie is doing electric conversions. And Polestar announced the 5 GT electric sports sedan. Tesla's Model 3 Highland got technical upgrades, too. Lots happening in the EV space.
Including city plans like Rabat aiming for 50% zero emission buses.
A very ambitious plan, including local battery production focus. Meanwhile, Stellantis unveiled its Level 3 autonomous driving system, STLA Auto Drive 1.0.
And Manchester, UK is retrofitting diesel buses to electric. Interesting comparison.
Innovation happening elsewhere too, though there were also recalls Stellantis in France for the PureTech engine issue.
And those ongoing concerns about potentially faulty Takata airbags affecting multiple brands like Citroën, VW, Nissan. A reminder for owners to check.
Definitely. On the battery tech front, sodium-ion batteries are emerging as a potential alternative to lithium-ion. Cheaper, maybe more sustainable.
Safety initiatives, too. The Royal Automobile Club Marrakane opened a new prevention center in Bouskoura.
Good to see. And Maserati entered the electric era in Morocco with the Grecal Fulgor SUV.
But customer service remains a pain point for some premium brands.
Seems so. And Affinitix report highlighted frustrations, particularly with after-sales service at some premium dealerships.
Porsche Maroc held an event for the 911 Carrera T. Lexus had its first Golf Cup in Marrakech.
Lots of brand activity. Auto Nejma Maroc had strong financial results in 2024, boosted by BYD sales.
Morgan unveiled a retro roadster, the Supersport.
And the Vintage Club Automobile Maroc, VCM, continues its work preserving automotive heritage. Renault even showed an R17 electric Restomod concept.
Nostalgia meets electric. And the Classic Mill Oasis Rally celebrated classic cars in Morocco.
Plus reviews of new motorbikes like the Vosges 525 DSX and Honda XADV 750, recommendations for new riders, and guides to current car prices. It's a really busy landscape.
So wrapping this all up, it's clear Morocco's mobility sector is incredibly dynamic. You've got this real push for innovation, butting up against the need for, you know, solid regulation.
Absolutely. And the automotive industry itself has these huge growth ambitions, but it's also navigating complex global trade issues, like those EU duties.
And underlying a lot of this is a growing focus on sustainability, the EVs, the charging infrastructure, and crucially, safety, from scooters to highways.
We hope this deep dive has given you a clearer, more synthesized picture of how all these different threads are connected and shaping the future over there.
Definitely. So maybe a final thought to leave our listeners with. Considering everything we've touched on, the industry growth, the EV transition, regulation, trade, urban mobility challenges, what single factor do you think will be the most critical in shaping the future of transportation in Morocco over the next decade? Something to ponder.
A great question to mull over. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.